Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
I'm reading John. Come on, y'all, go ahead and share. Get your Bibles out. John, the fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter. And I'm going to read from the King James Version, okay? It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? And I want to go a couple of verses down further. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Father, I thank you right now. God, if there be any lame, if there be any impotent, if there be any people that are halted in the spirit, God, if they've been laying around waiting for help, When none has been coming, for the circumstances and the situations that have been a long time, those lingering curses, those reoccurring demonic events, whatever may have your people stuck, I thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is coming by right now through the airways. We take authority over these airways in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you that as we ask ourselves the question, will we be made whole? We declare that we shall take up our beds and walk. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all know this ain't really no teaching message right here. This is a preaching message, but I'm going to do the best I can because the Lord gave me some nuggets to give you. And like I told you, we're going to have a revival coming up soon. I'm going to put it up, the advertisement right after this post. We're going to have a praise and worship. We're going to have the musician, and we're going to do it virtual. All right. And guess what? I'm believing God for healing, deliverance, miracles, signs, wonders. And the theme of the three-night revival is, will you be made whole? Will you be made whole? I don't know about you, but I know that you may know somebody, and it may not be you, but somebody that feels like they're stuck. Somebody that feels like every time there's a move of God that they can't get there in time to get theirs. They're laying there seeing people blessed every day, seeing people get promotions, seeing people get healed, seeing people get married when you've been single for 30 years, seeing people doing whatever you're believing God to do for you. And something on the inside of you is making excuses to why you have not gotten it. Well, don't you switch this channel. As a matter of fact, for those of you that are coming through this Facebook post, you need to stay there right now and be an evangelist. Evangelize for Jesus. Not only should you watch and receive, but share. Come on, put that on the screen. Put watch, receive, and share. Watch, receive, and share. Will you be made whole? You know, when this question is asked, it seems kind of funny because it makes it seem like we have a choice in being made whole or not. And so I want to talk about choices and making the wrong choices and making the right choices. But when Jesus asked a question, how many of you know he already knows the answer? And you already know the answer. I want you to watch, receive, and share this word for the Lord, because the anointing to preach to the brokenhearted, the anointing to minister healing to those who are stricken with infirmity, and to loose the slaves and to loose the captives so that they will be made free. Oh, I saw somebody that put on the screen, Kim, do you still do exorcisms? Well, we don't just necessarily call it an exorcism. That's okay if you want to call it that. But guess what? The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. And guess what? I became a believer over 30 years ago, and I'm going to die a believer. Come on, put that on the screen. I'm going to die a believer. If you die, you better die a believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It's not just for the apostles. It's not just for the prophets. It's not just for those who feel like they are anointed to cast out devils. I'm telling you that if you are a believer, the power of God is on the inside of you to set the captives free. Jesus showed up on the scene. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, how many of you know he comes to do something? When he show up, he show out. I've been saying it a long time. And God is showing up on this Facebook Live right now. He's going to use whoever will allow him. And I'm letting you know right now that when Jesus died on the cross, there's a continual troubling of the water, and all you got to do is dive in. Don't be afraid of the rivers. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, God is doing something in our hearts. He's doing something in our minds and our spirits, and I even believe that he's doing something in our emotions so that we can connect with him. Listen, will you be made whole? Will I be made whole? Will you be made whole? Listen, Jesus asked the lame man, wilt thou be made whole? As if this man had a choice. Can you imagine? This man had been laying there, put 38 years. I don't know how long you've been going through your situation. The Bible says that the woman had the issue of blood for a long time. And the lame man laid at the pool of Bethesda for a long time. There were some times when women couldn't have babies in the Bible for a long time. But God showed up and he showed out. When Jesus shows up, and I'm telling you, he's here right now. God bless you, Samuel McGill. Jesus is here right now. He showed up. God didn't come. The anointing is not released in the earth realm just to impress somebody. The anointing comes to deliver. The anointing comes to set free. The anointing comes to do something in your life. Come on, put your hands on your chest. Say, God, do something in my life. I don't know about you, but I need a special tailor-made blessing from the Lord. I don't want your blessing. I don't want his blessing. I don't want her blessing. I want a special tailor-made. Put a special tailor-made. That means that blessing is going to be cookie cut just for Kim. There is a blessing that's going to fit you just right. It won't be too hot. It won't be too cold. It'll be just right. How about a just right blessing? Don't you know that Jesus knew before he showed up how long this man had been laying there? I want to ask you, how long have you been laying in whatever you're laying in? It's time to rise up. Will you be made whole? Will you be saved? Will you be delivered? Will you be healed? Just fill in the blank. I don't know about you, but I want a tailor-made blessing, cookie cut for Kim Daniels in my life. You know, listen, I'll be the first to admit that there are people who have circumstances out of their control. But on the other hand, I'm convinced that there are others who are bound because they have not made the right choices in life. Jesus told that man to take up his bed and walk. He said, will you be made whole? In other words, Jesus was saying, it's up to you. Come on, you need to put your hand on your heart and say, it's up to me. Uh-huh. See, if you want to lay around crying, if you want to be depressed, listen, you got to shake yourself and get up. Whatever it is that got you bound, whatever you're addicted to, whatever you feel like you can't be loose from, I loose you right now in the name of Jesus so that you can loose yourself. I loose you so that you can loose yourself. No longer shall you halt between two opinions. No longer shall you lay beside that pool of Bethesda when you know that you know that you know that God has already told you what he's going to do, and God is not a man that he should lie. It's up to you. It's up to me. It's up to us. Wow, you preaching a crazy message. You know what? The gospel is not for the weak in heart. It's not for the scary, but it's for those who will believe God. I want to tell you that all you got to do is believe him. Believe him. See, let's talk about the will of God. And let's talk about the will of man. I talked a little bit about the three levels of the will, the good will, the acceptable will, and the perfect will of God. But let's talk about your will. Uh-huh. Jesus had to say, God, let your will, not my will, be done. See, because we all have wills. That's what needs to be dealt with. Our will. Will you be made whole? Mm. See, that will means that you have volition. You have a choice. You have your own mind. We're living in a day and time when people don't want you to think for yourselves, whether it be in the political arena or whether it be in the church arena or whether it be in your family. Somebody in the political arena, somebody in the church, somebody in your family, they may want you to have to depend on them. But I'm telling you, if you want to be healed, if you want to surrender your will, you need to surrender it to God. The most precious thing that God gave us was a will. You know, God is so awesome. He's so powerful. He's so bad that he could have us walking around like robots serving him. God don't have to ask us. He could make us serve him if he wanted to. He's God. Jesus, I can call down legions of angels right now. Shut all this junk down. But God is so passionate and he loves us so much that he gave you a will. He gave you a choice. You have an opportunity. Listen, it ain't no fun being in love with somebody and they loving you because you got to. I don't want you to love me because you gotta love me. Or you feel like, you know, there's a mandate. I want you to love me because you love me. And God's agape love, he loves us because he loves us unconditionally. And he gave us a will. And he wants us to give that will back to him. Now, listen, I've been teaching out of my book, Inside Out on Inner Healing. Y'all can look at the cover. I got a friend that I've known. His name is Streeter. We was in the military together. I've known him since I was 20-something years old. He going to ask me today, Kim, you wrote books? I was like, well, guess what? That show you that I don't wear my titles or my accolades. You know, I don't wear them around my friends. But I was like, come on, Streeter. I got 23 books, okay? But listen, the most precious thing God gave us, and I'm teaching on salvation, the soteria of God, being whole. Come on, put being whole in the Holy Ghost. W-H-O-L-E, being whole in the Holy Ghost. The most precious thing God gave man is a will. And the definition of will, y'all got this, is the freedom or power of a person to choose his or her own actions. So in the natural and the spirit, there are repercussions when a man is not a good steward of his own will, a good steward of his own volition. When people break natural laws, penalties can range when they get found guilty in the natural, from probation to temporary incarceration to life in prison until death. There are different penalties. But the Bible says that there is a way that seems right, but the end of it is death. So I feel real safe in saying this to you. And Muzet, I see you saying, because it's good. When you get into unadulterated, I'm not giving you my opinion. I feel safe to say that if we don't use our will properly, we will lose it eternally. If you don't use your will properly in this life, you'll lose it eternally. You'll lose your life. You'll be faced with eternal damnation just because you made the wrong decisions in life. You can't wait till you leave here. Jesus is coming back soon. We're talking about salvation. We're talking about the Yeshua of God, the soteria of God. It was the Yeshua in the Old Testament, the soteria in the New Testament. So from the Yeshua to the soteria of God, listen, salvation is your portion. I was talking to somebody on the phone, you know, and I'm telling you, when I leave here, I want to either meet him in the sky or to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. The one thing I don't want to do is lift my eyes up in hell. I'm telling you, there's a day and time you won't even be able to talk about hell. And we're not far away from it. It would be considered discrimination to preach the truth. But the truth is the only thing that's going to make men free. And now you have to tell your children that while they're living their lives, while they're having a good time, it's time to draw closer to God like never before. We all fall short of the glory. We've been slipping and sliding and laying and playing, you know, but now it's time to give ourselves unto God wholly. And when you give yourself fully unto God, you can be whole. You can't give half of yourself unto God. You got to, God, I give you all of me, you know, just like the song says. So when Jesus addressed the lame man, he wasn't just talking about his legs. He didn't just say, be healed in your leg. Go ahead and walk in the natural. Jesus spoke to the constitution of this man. Jesus spoke to everything in him. Listen, y'all know we talked about the soteria of God. Jesus spoke to his deliverance. He spoke to his safety, his health, his salvation, his aid, his prosperity, his welfare, and his help. How many of you know that my help is in the Lord? My help is in God. Y'all listen, we got to get back to the basics. There's another Jesus spirit and there is the other gospel that's going to look just like this one. But I plead the blood of Jesus in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and say that that is the only way to salvation is through Jesus. Oh, see, the promises of God, they are manifold. I want you to put manifold. This is what we're prophesying, decreeing, and declaring. Manifold blessings. Manifold blessings. Put manifold blessings on the screen, okay? Every promise is funneled through Christ Jesus and what he did on the cross. And it goes to every area of our lives. Listen, Ephesians 3 and 20, put that on the screen. I'm going to get back to the manifold. Put Ephesians 3 and 20. I need you to take some real good notes because, you know, whoever listens to this that's not saved, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Ghost that they'll fall down on their faces and repent and serve the Most High God, the true and living God, Jesus Christ. Manifold blessings. Go put Ephesians 3 and 20. It says that God is able to bless us far above all we can ask or think according to the power that's working on the inside of us. Wow. That's why inner healing, and I'm talking so much about inner healing. You know, there's a lot of folk, they've been delivered, they've been saved, but they still struggling. I want to talk about that. You know, believers we all go through something, but a continual struggle in your life is demonic. It's demonic when you can't come out of it. It's demonic when you start getting thoughts of suicide. Those things didn't come from God. You are under satanic attack. But God says that he's able to bless us far above we can think or ask or imagine, according to the power that's working on the inside of us. And I just want to ask you another question. What power is working on the inside of you? If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's another power working on the inside of you. This word power is dunamis. Be careful of those working signs and wonders outside of Jesus. Dunamis means the miracle working power of Jesus. According to the dunamis, come on, that's working on the inside of you. Put that on the screen, dunamis. Hallelujah. I got the dunamis of God working on the inside of me. And there is power in believing God, okay? There are many powers in this world, but the greatest power there is in all of creation is having the power to believe God, to have the faith of God working on the inside of you. You know, many people run from church to church and they believe that their healing may come from the gift of a preacher. And guess what? God do use us. But I am telling you where the source is. Because if that preacher fall, the power of God is still there. The dunamis power of God is operating. Okay? They believe that their healing comes from the gifting of a preacher, but the truth is that their healing resides within their own spiritual lives. Your healing resides on the inside of you. All right? The Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes. This is in John, the 10th chapter. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came. I showed up on the scene. I'm in the house so that you might. Come on, somebody. Have abundant life. This is not just about getting healed. We want to be healed. This is not about getting some help for my present trouble. It's about abundant life. I came that you might have Zoe life, Z-O-E, Zoe, the Zoe of God, abundant life, not just a little bit of life, not just teeny weeny life. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, I came that you might have dunamahi. That's another type of power, but that you might, it means potential. Okay. So dunamahi is the Greek word for might, and it means potential or possible power. Right? So Ephesians 3 and 16 tells us that we are strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's why, listen, I don't need to worship him in my flesh. I don't need to just worship him in my mind. He needs to get down in my inner man. And the truth needs to get deep down on the inside of me. This word dunamis and dunamahi, it works together. Because this is why Ephesians 3 and 20 refers to the power working on the inside of us as dunamis. Because when we're filled with dunamis, the dunamahi, the potential of God, the possible power of God is ignited on the inside of us. Man, you looking on the outside and you letting folk pass by you and you looking for certain vessels. But there are some folk that are saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they walking in some supernatural stuff. You know, come on, ask yourself that. Am I walking in some supernatural stuff? Listen, this thing is too deep for me to try to handle it in the natural. God, I pray for those of you right now with legal concerns, and I close every door, every legal trap, every lawsuit. I'm dealing with that right now in the name of Jesus. According to the dunamis that's working on the inside of you, I decree and declare the dunamihi of God is working on your behalf. The potential power of God is your portion. Wow, put that on the screen. The potential power of God is my portion. No longer is it potential, I possess it. I possess that which is potential. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. See, when we're filled with the miracle working power of God, the potential of God's purposes has no limit. There is no ceiling. There is a breakthrough in our lives. So y'all remember when we talked about the spies going in recently as we came into the first Sunday service of 2021? Only two, Joshua and Caleb, were declared well able. That word able means ability. They had something working on the inside of them that other folk didn't have. They believed the report of the land. They believed the report of the giants. They believed the report of what they saw. They did not believe the report of the Lord. I'm telling you, you're going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do it. But we're going to have to hit those hearts if you're ready to believe the report of the Lord. I mean, it looks like doom and gloom, and it looks like the devil is coming in any way he can come. But Jesus said, I came. Don't worry about what the devil do. I came. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you might have life. Grab a hold of that potential and possess it. Everything that God has for me, God knows I'm going to take it for mine. When it comes to what God has for us, we cannot go in trying to receive it with a spiritual question mark. I want to start right now. I just prophesied over some folk with legal struggles. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you're going to receive the manifestation this week. And I want you to go ahead and share. Stop what you're doing, everybody, right now. Go ahead and share this post again one more time and hit those likes. Come on. I be having a million people. Hit those likes. If you like what I'm saying, go ahead and hit those likes. I know you're caught up. Hit those likes. Hit those hearts. Hit those thumbs up. Because other people are watching this. All right? Listen. We got to know what's ours before we go in to possess it. We have to choose. We have a choice. I choose God's best for my life. Okay? Listen, I got this. This is one of the things coming out of my book. I got an example. It said the only way a person can be delivered from generational poverty is by choosing to walk out of it. Making the right choices in life count. Yes, we're breaking that curse of poverty and we're doing warfare. But if you go and rob a bank, that's going to hinder your flow. So there are some choices you can make in life that can hinder what God wants to do in your life. Put that on the screen. I'm anointed. I prophesy. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm walking in the power. But I want you to put this on the screen. Making the right choices count. You could be in that horrible marriage. Not because God don't bless a marriage. Because you chose the wrong one, or the wrong one chose you. But something ain't working right in the will of God concerning that. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Thumbs up. Thumbs up. It's very important. Life choices are very important. Sometimes we get so deep. Sometimes we get so spiritual. You know, we don't know that we have to make decisions. There are choices every day, and people are messed up because they connected with the wrong people, because they made the wrong choice. Making the right choice counts. Those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I know we got some spirit folk. Spirit-filled folk, but do we have any spirit-led people? Listen, I'm telling you, I feel the anointing of revival. We're going to be fasting. We're going to be praying. We're not calling a corporate fast. But we're going to be fasting and praying and coming on through this revival. I don't know who's going to be doing it with me, but I know I'm going to be there, and I know Jesus is going to be there. I know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is going to be there, a threefold cord that's not quickly broken. Hallelujah. The man at the pool of Bethesda, he had to make a choice, and he made the right one. He got up. Come on, put it on the screen. Say, get up. Hallelujah. That's the first thing you got to do to be healed. You can't just lay down no more and wait. Get up. Faith without work is dead. Get up. The man at the pool of Bethesda, you know, he got up. He was full of doubt, saying the wrong thing out of his mouth, but he grabbed a hold. And if there's some of you, if you've been full of doubt, if you've been speaking the wrong things out of your mouth, get up. Get up and walk out of that thing. Take up your bed and walk. Will you be? Do you really want to be healed, or have you gotten used to complaining about it? Some people get addicted to complaining, murmuring and griping, and when they're healed, they're so used to complaining about the issue that when the issue is gone, they're still talking about it. Get up, take up your bed and walk away from that issue. Don't just walk away from it, but shake the dust. I want you right now, come on, shake the dust off of your feet. Whatever has been binding you up so that you could not walk in the cadence of God, shake the dust off your feet right now. Shake the dust. Come on, shake it off. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants us to have another water level of our faith. Okay? Now listen, long time ago when I first got saved, I saw these little men, you know, like little silhouettes, and I could see blue in them. And some of them, the water level was at the ankles, some of them was at the stomach, some at the chest, and some of them, the water level was all the way up to the head. So they were blue from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And so the ones, the little man in this vision who were filled from the feet to the head, they had their hands up praising God. The other ones had somewhat of a praise. You know, they had their hands, you know, they were haphazardly praising God. But I'm telling you, to be made whole means to be blue from the, to be filled. God didn't say, you know, just take a drink, you know, or get a little dab or do you. He said, be filled. And I believe when God showed me that with that light blue water and those little, look like little gingerbread men. But they were filled with water, blue water. And some of them, the head was empty and the shoulder was empty, the belly. Some of them were just filled to the knees. Be whole. Be filled right now. From the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. In the name of Jesus. Say, fill me, Lord. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when you are filled, that means you have enough to share with somebody else. Listen, we don't just want, we want an overflow. God, I thank you for the overflow of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Yeah, we have a lot of folk, and we're talking about casting out devils. We got a lot of folk casting out devils, prophesying, walking in the power of God. Y'all, come on, I need y'all to be real nice to me while I preach truth, okay? While I preach truth. Saved, sanctified, but can't pay their light bill. Come on, somebody. Saved, sanctified, walking in the power of God, casting out devils, healing the sick, but you can't believe God to get rid of a headache. Let me say, I've been saying for a long time, I'm not judging nobody with a headache, but let's start working with those headaches. Listen, I bind every, right now in the name of Jesus, if you're suffering with migraines, I release a supernatural anointing upon you right now. And you notice that those migraines come every time God is calling you to do something. I break that right now in the name of Jesus. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. And I want to keep on with this message, but you know what I'm going to do? Because I always wait to the end of the message to take the offering, and too many people don't give, I'm going to take an offering right now. Because y'all know, to do this revival, it's going to take funds. It's going to take me paying people. We're going to hook it up real nice, you know. And so we're still serving the community. I'm getting ready to go to deliver some food to some folk now. So just because that build, the doors are shut in the building, the doors of the church are open in the spirit. I want every person on here right now, in the name of Jesus, to give an offering of $21. Sonji, thank you for putting that Givelify up there for $21. Pay your tithes, pay your offering, but you can go to Givelify. If this ministry has been feeding you, if this ministry has been blessing you, I want you to stop what you're doing right now. Take you a mental note. Maybe you can't do it while you're on the phone. Y'all know I can't do two things at one time, technically speaking. But I want you to give an offering. With all the people on here, if you're being blessed, I want you to make that sacrifice. And for those of you who said, this is not a sacrifice to me, I want you to give $121. I want you to give $21 or $121, because $21 may not be a sacrifice to you. There are three offerings I'm calling for right now. I'm going to give $521. That's going to be my seed today to the church. I'm going to give $521. I want you to give $21, $121, $221, $300, $400, wherever you fit at, and that fits for you right now, up to $521. I want you to, the Cash App right now is, the Cash App that we have is APOSKMD22. APOS, short for Apostle, KMD, Apostle Kimberly Maria Daniels. And I want you to step out by faith. Listen to me. Nothing happens except a seed be planted. And guess what? I know you planted seeds in your church, but I want you to plant seed in this message right now. Y'all know that I always forget to take an offering, but we got that radio broadcast going. We got everything that has to be paid for, and God has been supernaturally doing his part. I need to do my part. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. We have, and I haven't been asking, but I want the overflow. It's time for you to have the overflow. That's APOSKMD22 is the Cash App. Or you can go to Givelify and you can search Spoken Word Ministries in Jacksonville, Florida. There's a lot of them in Jacksonville, Florida. And you can give there at the donate. But or you can go to KimDanielsMinistries.com. K-I-M Daniels Ministries, plural.com. And you can give on PayPal. On the where it says to donate on the donate button. Do you want the overflow? I'm telling you, $21, $121, $221, $321, $400, $500. I'm giving $521 today. Victoria, I need you to pick up my check because I'm not using any of the social media stuff. Pick up my check. Remind me, Victoria, make a mental note. Right now, make that commitment, and we're going to go on right from here. All right, Sonji, thank you. Put it on the screen. 21, 121, 221, 321, 421, 521. Listen at what God is saying. I'm telling you right now that about this water levels of our faith. See, we need the water level of our faith to be at a higher level so that there will be a proper spiritual flow. The flow will cause a balanced distribution. Now y'all remember I said the manifold blessings of God? Now the scripture talks about manifold blessings, and a manifold, y'all know I'm not a mechanical girl, but a manifold is something like my arm, it comes in through my arm and it goes out in five different directions. So the manifold in a car, it sends things out in different directions. So we don't just need safety and no deliverance. We need the manifold blessings of God, the manifold blessing of prosperity, of health, of welfare, safety, deliverance, health, salvation, and aid. Say, put manifold blessing up there. The manifold. There's a flow. And the reason why it's coming out of one place, because it's Jesus. Jesus is the root. Jesus is the source. As a matter of fact, there are some shortcuts to getting temporary blessings. Yes, yes. You can go to the voodoo doctor. You can go to the witch doctor. You can go to all them people. But I'm telling you, there's nobody like Dr. Jesus. There's repercussions about dibbling and dabbling in the dark realm and in the spirit realm outside. Some people can go in and steal a blessing. But I'm telling you, you don't have to steal a blessing when you got the manifold blessings of Jesus operate, the soteria and the Yeshua. That's why we call Yeshua HaMashiach, the Yeshua of God operating in our lives. Okay? So here we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We talked about being good stewards of our will. Y'all know I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. We're going to be out of here, okay? We're going to be out of here. Luke 18 and 30. Put that on the screen. Luke 18 and 30 speaks of the manifold more. Come on, put that up there. The manifold more that we receive in the life now and in the world to come. The word manifold refers to the many faceted blessings of God. The many faceted blessings of God. At the end of this message, I'm going to give y'all the address for those who want to send checks. The many faceted blessings of God. The flow of God's blessings can be compared to that manifold in the car. Everything comes from one source, which is Jesus Christ. And through him, God's promises are distributed to every part of our lives like an engine to make it run smooth. Okay, listen, I just want to expound on this a little bit. This is why we need inner healing. You know, when our spiritual engine breaks down, it affects every part of our lives. Cars can be driven and ride rough. You'll know that car needs a tune-up because it's not flowing smooth. It's not riding smooth. And just like in your real life, you can be living bumpy or rocky. You know, and so if things are going rough, that means that you need a spiritual tune-up. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get our tune-ups today. Many Christians are barely making it through life and struggling every day. Are you getting this? You know, I've already said that Jesus came that we might have life and that we will have it more abundantly. But do you have a soul that's running rough? Are you rocky in your spirit? Are you not experiencing the flow of God and struggling daily? Instead of having the abundant life, not saying you won't go through, but you're going to go through, but you'll be like Timex. You'll take a licking and keep right on ticking. Everything won't keep you down. It'll knock you down, but it won't keep you down. The Bible says a righteous man will fall down, but every time he'll get up. We don't have a ministry of falling down. We got a ministry of getting up. Come on, y'all. Jesus told the man at the pool of Bethesda, get up, take up your bed and walk. Use your will. I will. Come on, somebody, get up out of this mess. I will move forward. I will live and not die. I'm going to use my will and I will do what God said he created me to do. Hallelujah. Come on. You know, listen. A soul that's running rough and struggling daily is not experiencing abundant life. And to make the problem worse, many seek solutions in all the wrong people, places, and things. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on, ladies. I need somebody to help me. Come on, men. I need somebody to go with me. I will not look for love in all the wrong places. And guess what? When I look for love in the wrong place, I will recognize that I'm dealing with something that's out of place because it's the wrong place. Hallelujah. Thank you. See, listen, believers who experience continual spiritual struggles need a spiritual tune-up. Come on, put that on the screen. Spiritual tune-up. Spiritual tune-up. All right. So inner healing is like a spiritual tune-up. A person can go through life with problems that they can never put their finger on. Do you sometimes feel like there is a dark cloud or there is a dark shadow or something that you cannot put your finger on? This is what the prophetic does. This is what the anointed intercession does. It puts its finger on the problem. And God is anointing you to put your finger on the enemy. No longer shall you go around ghosting or geeking. You know, here we go. It'll be like, you know, like if your tires need balance, or if you need a new filter, or if I like this one. If you need some windshield, you may have the wipers, but you don't have no windshield wiper fluid in your car. So you're not going to be able to see. Everything is blurry. You know, I got a chapter called Putting Your Finger on the Enemy in my book, Give It Up. Give It Back, excuse me. Putting your finger on the enemy. Put this on the screen. Give it back. My book, yeah, Devil Need to Give It Up. Yeah, but the title of the book is Give It Back. And it's got a chapter in there called Putting Your Finger on the Enemy. And it's line upon line, a lot of detail, but you'll love it, okay? All right. Unless the Lord gives prophetic insight to these ghostly problems, dealing with them is like swinging at air. Paul said that he did not box like a person swinging at air, having no adversary. Though he knew there was a problem, he could not see it with the natural eye. So what was his solution? He buffeted his body and dealt with the manifestations. You can see it in 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27. That's that scripture. 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27. Let me give you an example. Listen, over the past 30 years, I have so many deliverance stories I could blow your mind, right? But there is, and I know those of you who are saying, are we going to do the KDMI 2020-300? Yes, we are. We're going to still do the 2020-300 because y'all see what 2020 brought. We're still creating the platform that we can have the privacy that we need to do the kind of warfare that we're going to do. So some of these warfare stories, I'm not going to even tell on here, but I tell you, there was a young lady in my ministry. She had some kind of little rabbit's foot, and she would suck her thumb, and she would always rub on that rabbit foot and suck her thumb when trouble came. You know, I knew that this was the type of acting out, but as we ministered deliverance to her time at the time, we found out that her mother was on crack. And so she had to raise her brothers and sisters mostly as a little girl. And so when she went back to the, and her mother, every time that rabbit foot as a grown woman would get torn up, her mother would reinforce that thing by sending her a new foot. And she would rub that foot and suck her thumb whenever she got nervous. But you know what? I had to speak to her and say, stop it. You know, she said that she had been doing this ever since she could remember living. She'd been rubbing on that rabbit's foot and sucking her thumb. And guess what? I told her to take up her bed and walk right out of that demonic bondage. Because when you 30, 40 years old and you still sucking your thumb and rubbing and it's a type of idolatry, get on your face and call on Jesus, okay? So listen, we may need a tune-up. Casting out devils is like changing oil, and filling up with gas is like being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, if you've done all of this, here we go. If you've done everything you know to do to your car and it's still running rough, what do you get then? You get a diagnostic. You got to put it on the machine. Guess what we're going to do right now? God going to put you on the machine. That's right. That's what inner healing does. Inner healing is so powerful. It says inner healing ministry is a spiritual diagnostic test that identifies problems and fixes them. Inner healing deals with the things that operate behind the scenes, which can cause heart trouble. Inner healing exposes and ministers to subliminal bondage that can stop the flow of God in our lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. The body of Christ needs inner healing ministers who, through the power of the Holy Ghost, can troubleshoot the manifestations and deal with them. In the name of Jesus. Jesus didn't just come to keep us out of hell, though thank God he does, but he came that we may have victorious living and abundant life right here in the earth realm. And the only way a person can be whole and you can answer the question properly is that you got to choose to be whole. Come on, put that on the screen. I choose to be whole. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said it earlier that many accept him as Savior, but they don't accept him as Lord. Come on, put that word Lord in the Greek is kurios, K-U-R-I-O-U-S, kurios. Jesus, you are curious. You are Lord. And it means supreme ruler and controller of my life. I choose to be whole and I choose to give my will. God, you gave me a will and I give it back to you. Not my will, but your will be done. And when you give Jesus permission to have control over your life, it enables you to make better and to even make right choice. We still gonna mess up, but when we fess up, God gonna bless up. We all fall short of the glory. We're not talking about being perfect people, but being perfected. There is a perfecting of the saints that's coming. We're gonna shake ourselves. We're gonna get rid of all our differences and meet where we can meet as believers. Can we meet where we can meet as believers? Can we allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength? Can we allow the peace that will surpass all understanding to be our portion? Can we partake of this abundant life and of this victorious living? God, you are my curious. Jesus, you are curious. You are Lord. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. Luke 18 and 29. Y'all, we almost finished. Come on, put this on the screen. Luke 18 and 29. Because you're going to go back and you're going to study this. And if you're watching this Facebook Live, this is our church service. Mm-hmm. Welcome. If you're just coming on, if you're watching the rerun, welcome. We invite you to partake of the abundant life and the victorious living that comes when Jesus is not just your Savior, but He's Lord. Let Him be Lord and Savior. Let Him be Lord first, and He'll be your Savior. You're Lord of lords and King of kings. Luke 18 and 29, put it on the screen. Jesus told His disciples that every man or woman who leaves house, parents, brothers, wife, or children for the kingdom of God will receive the manifold more promised by God in this present life or in the life to come. The manifold more comes from experiencing great loss as a result of making the right decisions. You think just because you made the right decision that everything gonna be hunky-dory? You may experience some loss. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all. And He said, those of us who lose, talk about some serious loss right here, houses, parents, brothers, wife, children, family members, for the kingdom, you will experience the manifold more. See, it's the manifold more. It's called the manifold more. Everybody ain't with this. I'm losing some folk right now. I got to lose. Listen, when you lose it for the kingdom, oh, there's a glorious day coming. There should not be no fear in the believer. For the Lord I live and for the Lord I die. If you take my life, I'm gonna see His face. Come on, let's talk about the manifold more. Many are the afflictions. They folk don't have to like you. Folk don't have to like me, but I got the manifold more operating in my life. That manifold more means that you've been persecuted. You've been beat down. You've been through some things, okay? But God said, if you did it for the kingdom, if you did it for righteousness' sake, you will receive the manifold more. And throughout the Bible, true leaders always always put a demand on people to make the right choices. There was the Zadok and then there was the Levites. The Zadoks were the ones who went all the way. They taught the people, they continued to teach the people the difference between right and wrong, holy and unholy, what was common and what was uncommon. I'm going to be real, make this real simple. You ain't got to figure out what's holy. What's common is unholy. If the world is doing it, if the world, come on somebody, y'all know I ain't, Ain't nobody talking about this. Yeah, we know there's a devil, there's the flesh, and there's the world. You know, these are three realms. But don't forget about the realm of the world. You know, we're casting out devils. And then you know your flesh is what has to make the decision. You know, I got to pick up my body. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a spirit. I am a spirit. I live in a body. I possess a soul. But when I get up, I got to get up with my body. My spirit don't just get up. I got to use my body to be in contact with the world. So don't forget that the world is not going, they hated Jesus. And the world is not going to be enthused by you. That's why y'all ain't getting those dings when I'm coming on. You know, other folk, they preaching all kind of hellacious stuff. And all of their followers are getting the ding ding. But you ain't getting a ding. You got to get a ding in your spirit. Come on, you're going to have to get an alarm in your spirit. You're going to have to know when to move and when to flow. We cannot depend on social media. This is stuff that's going to pass away. You got to have a something in your spirit that will show you how to flow in the realm that God is calling you to flow in. As we choose life, generational curses will be broken off of our seed. So we're not just getting delivered and inner healing for us. We're getting it for our children's children's children, for the generational blessings. You know, on Mount Carmel, Elijah asked him, how long will you halt between two opinions? That's 1 Kings 18:21. I'm closing out. 1 Kings 18:21. In Joshua 24 and 15, Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Y'all, this is some real important scriptures. Joshua 24, 15. As for me, I don't know what y'all doing or what, but guess what we're going to do? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord up in here. Okay. And then we're closing out with Deuteronomy. With Exodus 32 and 26. Come on, put that on the screen. Exodus 32 and 26. It says, whoever is on the Lord's side, come stand with me. If you're on God's side, you're not opposing men and women of God. If you're against men, true men and women of God, check your surroundings off. Hit them hearts, hit them thumbs up. You're on the wrong side. I am on the Lord's side. Come on, somebody. If you're opposing me, you just ain't opposing me. You're opposing God. If that's a matter of your opinion, there's a day coming that we're going to see who's on God's side. Moses said, whoever, come on, hit those hearts and those thumbs up. Whoever is on the Lord's side, stand right here with me. And y'all know the rest of the story. The ground opened up. We talking about biblical truth. The ground opened up and swallowed the rest of them. Well, ain't no ground. Yes, grounds are opening up. You just don't see it. Grounds are opening up and swallowing people every day. And then this scripture in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. God told him, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life that you and your descendants. God said, I put it before you. I gave you a choice. I gave you a will. I gave you a volition. I set before you this day life and death, blessings and curses. Hallelujah. Choose life that you and your children's children's children may live. The reciprocal effect of making right choices is that the right choices come back to you. In other words, when you sow right, you will reap right. Does that make sense to you? This means that when you give God your will, all right, you get his will in return. Ooh, everybody want to know the will of God. We talked about all the wills of God, but give God your will, and guess what you get? His will in return. Amen? And when you give God your will, you'll get his will in return.
From the law offices of Christine A. Michelle Studio, this is Praise 107.9.
W300CU Jacksonville. WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach.
The ultimate gospel experience.
Thank you for joining Truth and Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth and Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthandlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth and Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth and Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now where the message is already in progress.
It is to be cognizant or aware of a fact. Come on, look at it. Or a specific piece of information. I don't have to have the whole puzzle, but the Lord just give me a piece. Lord have mercy. I don't got to understand Hebrew and Greek. Come on. I don't got to know it all. I don't got to have a handle on it all. But God, if you give me a piece, oh God, that when I know something that you said and something that you spoke down in my spirit, God, I hang on to that piece of information. I possess that knowledge or that information. Paul said, for we're certain of something. We're certain of God's provision. See, there's some things in life, I just alluded to it, some things in life that we don't know. Come on, let me tell you, because that's why we need the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we need God to be able to lead us and guide us. That's why we need God. See, sometimes we be praying and be asking God to show us this and show us that. If God show us everything, we'll never go through anything. If God don't never allow us to be betrayed, if God don't ever allow us to be lied on, if God don't ever allow us to be taken advantage of, then we will not be able to grow that. But no, God sometimes divinely deletes my discernment the way I don't know what's going to happen, because he allows me to go through what he wants me to go through, because he's trying to do something in us and through us. But the Holy Spirit of God, he will not lead me anywhere that I can't handle. So if you in it right now, come on, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, come on, if you in it right now, that means you can handle it. Oh, I know you feel like you're gonna lose your ever loving mind, but you can handle it. I know you feel like if one more thing go wrong, you're just gonna walk away from it all. But can I tell you, you can handle it. You can handle it, because God said you can handle it. Look at Romans 8 about the things that we don't know. Look at Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Oh Lord, come on here. I know I have some weaknesses. I know I have some proclivities. I know I have some things that if I don't wrestle with them, they will overtake me. Come on, don't ever get mad about your wrestle. If you ever lose your wrestle, if you ever lose your fight, that means you're succumbing to it. Oh no, but the Bible says, he that has suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. Oh, every day you wake up, your flesh want to eat. Every day you turn on that TV, your flesh want to eat. Every day you have a conversation with somebody, your flesh want to eat. But you got to tell your flesh, no, I'm not going to feed you, Seymour. I'm going to dive into the word of the Lord. And Paul said, the Spirit helps me in my weakness. He helps me in my weakness so they don't become wickedness. If I lean too much into my weaknesses, they become wickedness. But Paul said, the Spirit helps me with my weaknesses. He said, for we do not know. Look at this. We do not know how what to pray for as we ought. Look what he says. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And here, this is what we have to be dependent on, people of God. We're not dependent upon. Thank God for Dr. Fauci. We're not dependent upon Dr. Fauci. Thank God for the vaccine. We're not dependent upon the vaccine. If God decides to use the vaccine, and let me help my church. Come on. Anybody else around? Y'all just get in where you fit in, but let me help the people I'm responsible for. I want you to understand the words that's coming out of my mouth. The vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Come on, if I see any of y'all posting that and y'all go here, I'm revoking your membership. Come on here, and because if that's the mark of the beast, then that means that the Antichrist is here. We believe that when the Antichrist show up, the church gonna be caught up. We not gonna be. That's how I believe that the church not gonna be around for the whole tribulation. But if you stand in the line getting the mark of the beast, I want to know where you. I'm be looking at you because I'm being glory somewhere. So if you get in the mark of the beast and you in the great tribulation, that ain't gonna be me. So will you please stop sharing that foolishness? Stop all these conspiracy theories. They're trying to put a barcode in your hand, and they're trying to do it. You better get that doggone vaccine and tell the Lord thank you. Come on here and go on about your business. Talking about it's not the mark of the beast, y'all. It's not. And let me say it this way: it's not even biblical. It's not even biblical. That's not. It may make your head hurt. May make you break out in cold sweat and all that other all the other stuff y'all take. Got all them side effects. Y'all still be taking all that. But that is not. I'm telling you what it's not. I don't know what it's gonna do, but I'm telling you what it's not. You might grow another head. I don't know what's gonna happen when you take it, but I know it's not the mark of the beast. The Bible says the Holy Spirit to tell you that it's not the mark of the beast, y'all. Y'all, all these theories. Anyway, so I don't know what's going to happen. But there's something that I should know. Look what Paul said in Philippians 1. Let me let y'all alone. He said, I don't know if anybody get in with this. Paul says, I am sure of this. You know King James. It says, I'm confident in this very thing. Paul said, I am sure of this. Look what he said. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What am I trying to tell you? I'm sure of this. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm sure of this thing, that God, who started something in me, he's going to bring it to completion. God is going to make sure he provide for me, and not just for me, for my children and their children. Come on here, and generations and generation and generation. God going to take care of me. I'm confident in this very thing. Job said the same thing. Job didn't understand what was going on. He didn't know who was attacking him. He thought it was God. Job was looking for God. He said, I looked for him on my left. He wasn't there. Looked for him on my right. Looked for him in front of me. Looked him behind. I don't know where he's at. But Job said, I don't know where he's at. But he says he knows the way that I take. And Job says something so key in Job 19:25. He says, I know, look at this, I know that my Redeemer lives. I don't know what happened to my children. I don't know what happened to all of my things that I had acquired. I don't know why that happened. I don't know why I got these boils on my body. I don't know why my wife told me to curse God and die. Oh, but I do know this. Oh, that my Redeemer lives. And at the last day, gonna stand upon the earth. I'm trying to talk to the people of God, that where we will get to the point to where we won't be so consumed with the culture. We won't be so consumed with what the enemy in the world is telling us. And we'll say, I don't know what's going on over there. But as for this right here, I know that God is absolutely positively in control. Because I know something. Somebody say that. I know something. I know something. Look at this. I told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. I will not deny in the darkness what I have come to know, or what I have came to know to be true in the light. That's good preaching right there. I will not deny in the darkness. Anybody want to agree it's dark? Oh, it's some difficult days that we're in. But I will not deny in the darkness what I have come to know to be true in the light. In other words, God showed me something in a good season. God showed me something in a bright season. God downloaded something in my spirit back then. God downloaded something in my spirit in the previous season. I'm not going to let go of it just because I'm in a dark season. Oh, no, but I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm not going to let go. It's not a hope so. It's not a think so. It's not a maybe so. It's not a perhaps so. But no, it said, I know that God is going to take care of me. Lord, have mercy. I know. The world don't know what just happened, but I know what just happened. God is up to something. And here, not only is Paul telling us that there's a certainty of our provision, but there's also a creator of the provision. Yes, it is. Right here in the same verse. He says, and we know that God. Somebody say God. Oh, come on, put your preaching voice on. I say God. I say God. Come on, y'all, put your preaching voice. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. There's a creator. In other words, I'm just trying to remind you that there's somebody behind the curtain. There's somebody orchestrating our lives. You're not just going through just to go through, but no, the creator has something in mind. And the creator allows us to go through the crucible of trouble, because there's something on the end. There's something in the end that he's trying to pull out of us. It's in the mind of the potter. The potter stands by the furnace. The potter makes us and molds us and shapes us. And we don't know what he's trying to do. We don't see the scars. We don't see the imperfections. We don't see all those blemishes. But the potter sees it. And it hurts when he makes us. It hurts us when he molds us. It hurts us when he's shaping us. Oh, but the creator. I trust the hand of the creator. I don't understand why he did that. But I trust his hand. And I trust his heart. Oh, let me move quickly. Because Paul tells us something else. I see the comprehensiveness of God's provision. Not just the fact that God's given us provision. I see it's comprehensive. Because Paul said in Romans 8:28, some things. Paul said most things. Paul says all things. It's comprehensive. Everything that you and I are going through or have been through, God is working it together for my provision. God is working. It's comprehensive. He takes the small things. He takes the big things. He takes the things that I feel like I shouldn't have gotten into. He takes all of it and he works it together for my good. He takes those things that I feel as if I brought on myself, and he takes those things that I feel like I didn't deserve it. Why did that happen to me? He takes it all. It's comprehensive. Look what Paul said in Romans 8:17. Y'all don't mind the Bible, right? I'm just trying to preach the Bible. Y'all don't mind the Bible, right? Romans 8:17 says, and if children, look at this, then heirs. I'm a child of God. He says, said, heirs of God and fellow heirs in Christ. Look what he says. Provided. Look what he says. We suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him all things. So God lets us suffer so we can be able to be glorified with him all things. God allow us to go through the pain and go through all the things that we experience so we can be able to glorify with. Come on. No pain, no gain. Come on. No. If you don't go through nothing, then you can't get to nothing. But God said, I take it all and I work it together. Look at verse 18. He said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy of comparing with the glory that shall be revealed. The suffering. Anybody suffering? Anybody been through some things? He said, all of this suffering, all this stuff that you've gone through, he said, it shall not be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Lord have mercy. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but I know what's going to happen. Good God. I don't know why I went through what I went through, but I do know something is up the road. Something is around the corner. He told me I can count it all joy when I fall in a diver's temptation. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he said, give thanks for all circumstances. He didn't say give thanks for the circumstances. He said a mature believer gives thanks in all circumstances. I'm not thankful for it. I'm not thankful that my loved one died. I'm not thankful that I lost my job. I'm not thankful that I'm sick in my body. I'm not thankful for the things that I've experienced, but I can find a silver lining. I can find I can have an attitude the way I'm saying, God, because you let me go through it, God, I'm thankful in it. Oh, dark things, light things, happy things, sweet things, nasty things. God, I'm thankful in everything. I'm gonna give you thanks. And I'm getting there, y'all, because y'all tired of me already. I know y'all attacking me with hearts on Facebook. Oh, I know y'all loving me on the YouTube. Come on, I know y'all out there in the parking. I know y'all making some noise. Come on, y'all blow your horn out there in the parking. Let me hear you. Ooh, look at me right on time. Look at me. Hey, right on time. Come on, hit, blow that horn. I gave him a slout. Give me a slout. Another slout dog. Oh, they asked for another slout dog. That what that is? I thought it was amen. They asked for another slout dog. Anyway, slout dog. Somebody said, I'm gonna get out of here. Don't put that church finger up now. Paul says. Paul says that he's working something for us. It's not only that, it's comprehensive. God's provision is comprehensive. Look at this. This is so powerful. Look at it in verse number 28. It works together for good. It works together. I ran out of time. I was trying to Google it. I'm gonna lean over here to my chemistry teacher over here. It's the items that make up salt is what are the two? Sodium and chloride. It's sodium. I knew she would know. Sodium. I dropped that DNA, and she sent an extra offering. I dropped that DNA. Don't ask me how to say it again. I said that. Anyway, DNA. However, say. But sodium and chloride. Look at this. See, when you if you take those two individual things, they're poison, right? But when you put them together, they're beneficial. Yeah. And this is what, come on, doctor, give me an honorary doctorate or something. Can I tell you? Help me. Here, listen, what am I saying? See, there's some things that we've gone through that it has, if you had not been in God, it would have killed you. If you had not been in God, you would have lost your mind. If you haven't known what it is that you know, you would have walked away. But here, Paul says, it works together. He takes the bad and he takes what God is doing and it works together in our lives. Look what it means. It simply means to collaborate. It means to work together on a common enterprise or a project. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that my trouble and God's design, it works together for my good. God is saying, Paul is saying, my pain and what God has, the end goal that God has for me is not there to destroy me, but it works together. It's a synergetic effort. And literally that word is the word that we get our word synergy from. And synergy is this. It is simply that there is power in synergy. Synergy is the sum total of individual parts coming together to do more than they could alone. That's what synergy is. Synergy says that by myself I can do something, but together we can go further. Synergy says that God takes my trouble, he takes my pain, he takes my tears, he takes everything I've gone through, and he works it together with where he's trying to take me at, and he says that you're going to be better for it, you're going to be stronger for it, you're going to be wiser for it, you're going to be better for it. Oh, I love what the Amplified says. Same verse. He said, all things work together. Look at this. And are fitting into the plan. Good God. Oh, why you been crying so much this year? Because it's a part of the plan. Can I tell you why you've been wiping your face and getting all those tears from under your eye? Because it's a part of the plan. Come on, you don't understand why. why you've been going through. I don't have to understand what I've been going through. Oh, but it's all according to the plan. Oh, God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. They give you a future and a hope because it's a part of the plan. God lets you cry now so you can comfort later. God lets you go through now so you can be able to encourage later. God lets you go through what you're going through because it's a part of the plan. I don't know. I'm just going to follow him. I'm just going to follow the cloud. I'm just going to follow the word. I'm just going to say, God, I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways, and I'm going to trust you to direct my path because you understand the plan. Let me blaze up out of here, y'all. I know y'all tired of me. Paul said that God did something. God did something for us. God has got some provision for us, but there's a condition. There's a condition to God's provision. Salvation is free, but the blessings of the Lord are conditional. Salvation is free. Salvation don't cost you no thing. Oh, but the blessings of the Lord, they cost you something. They're conditional. Look what he says. I'm in the same verse, y'all. Verse 28. And to those, for those who speak in tongues. For those who teach and preach. Those who sing like canaries. For those who love God. There's a condition to my provision. Paul talked about all this, that God says he's going to let it work together. It's going to be synergetic. All of this that he said, that God is a creator. God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has all those things for me. And yet he said, but the person or the individual that's going to experience what it is I have for them, that's a condition. I got to love God. And Jesus said, I'm going to spare you all these verses. Jesus said, if you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus said, love is not just what you say out your mouth, but love is deeds. Love is action. And if I say I love God, I cannot just love God when it's convenient, but I got to love God with my whole heart, my whole mind, my soul, my strength, my understanding. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is what? He is God. The Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him. He keeps his steadfast love and his commandments to those who love him. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord. And love, Lord have mercy, love is not an easy thing. Love is not something that where you just can, because we in love, we just gonna always just be things, just gonna be all bliss. It's all just gonna be sunshine. It's all just going to be things that are happy and things going to make me feel good. But no, when you love somebody and when you're in relationship with somebody, there are going to be some difficult days. There are going to be some challenging days. And God said, because I love you, I chasten you. And because I love you, you're going to go through some things. He said, to those that love me, I'm going to keep them. I'm going to be with them. Look what Psalm 145:20 says. The Lord preserves all who love him. Yeah. But the wicked he will destroy. Lord have mercy. He said, those who love. Oh, y'all don't like that one. Let me hear another. First Corinthians 2:9. It says, but as it's written, come on, it's our verse. I have not seen. Ha. Come on. It have not heard. All that hadn't neither has it come to the heart of man. We love this. But look what it says. What the Lord has prepared for those who what? Who love him. I have to meet the condition. I have to love God. And so what loving God is following him and obeying him even when I don't understand him. Loving God is following him and obeying him, not when it's convenient, but whenever it is that he gives me directive. Let me tell you two more and we blaze. In 1 Corinthians 8:3 says, but if anyone loves God, he is known by God. This is why Christ said in that day in Matthew 7, he said, depart from me, all those individuals. He said, but I never knew you. He said, I don't know who you are because you don't love me because you're working iniquity. Yeah. He says, depart from me. Get away from me. I don't know who you are. But if I'm a lover of God, he knows who I am. James 1:12.